Okay. Call the meeting of the Exposition Light Rail Authority to order. Secretary, call the roll.
Here.
Present.
Approval of the minutes of April 4th. Is there any discussion or motion to approve the minutes? Moved by Davis, seconded by O'Leary without objection. Unanimous vote. Public comment. Quint Simmons. Mr. Simmons, there you are.
Good afternoon, Expo Board. My name is Clint Simmons. I represent the West Ham Neighborhood Council as well as the UCA. Since the phase one is not going around cleaning up all of their problems after what has been happening over the last few months, we have a problem right there in La Brea where K-Rail is there as a temporary fix, and it's only cost $1,500 to put the permanent fixture in, and for 2.5 years now, Expo have been mucking around. Last month while I was here, there were four items that I was concerned about. One was that particular K-Rail at Exposition in La Brea, Griffin. Speed exists between the La Cienega and the terminal out at Culver City. I was also concerned about the noise problem at Buckingham and also the temporary sewer fix at the Alona Creek Bridge. These are the things that I discussed. During that time, I asked when was all the drawings was completed, and the CEO acted as though that he didn't know what in the hell I was talking about. He had to know what I was talking about. So before you there, I put in August board meeting in the year 2009 so that you can read. You have to take my word for it. Just read your own stuff. Tells you about a temporary fix that was put in at the Bologna Creek. I use the word 61-inch sewer line, and it's really a 63. Now, there was a gentleman called me from Expo named Matthew Freeman, and he said, you have some concerns. I said, yes, and we were supposed to meet. And I gave him a place to meet, was at the La Brea Bridge, because that's where I thought he was referring to, so... He said, no, sir, I'm concerned about that 61-inch drain you're talking about. And then I said, well, there are more than that. So he'd come back. He'd say, well, I'm looking all over the place, and I can't find a 61-inch sewer line, which, no, I had mistakenly called a 61. It's the water main that is 61 along. That's not the – but it's really insignificant. But he was more concerned about trying to make me irrelevant. That's what – it happened. This has been the case all the time with this particular management team here, but I've been here, I'm going to stay here, and there's no in the hell I'm going to back down, and you haven't seen all of me yet. I still have a lot of stuff ready to go. Rick, he has always just looked over our community. Actually, you should have been gone 6 years ago. If it hadn't been there.
All right, let's...
Here's the other thing that I have. I talked about the speed between La Cienega and the terminus at Culver City. Take a look at the picture here. I clocked the train at 15 miles per hour. I used a radar gun to do that with. I took a camera so everyone can see that. It's not that I was in here running my mouth about something. I come in here, I try to talk facts as much as I possibly can. All we're trying to do is get a fair shake in our community like in other communities. So there's a picture of the train in the background, and it's a 50 miles per hour. The speed gun takes the speed head on, so when you hold the trigger, and then once you release the trigger, it gives you the maximum speed. The maximum speed is 15 miles per hour, and there's a train behind it, and I sign up on that. See, these are the things that I find very, very disturbing to me when I come here trying to get good information, and then everybody want to give me a lot of BS, which I don't like it at all. And so I brought in the paper, and as I said last month, the engineering change order was written right here, and it was in August of 2009. This is your document that was put up, not mine. And so I didn't put the second page on it because that's something you could easily get. Now, I'm going to give you a heads up on something. In 2005, my homeowner association, we sent a letter to the FDA, civil rights section. And at that time, we was concerned about the building of this particular railroad and how it was going to be different between certain areas and where we live and others. We were told at that time you got to wait until phase two and all the lines complete, then you come back. So a lot of people figured as though that, well, they're just running off their mouth and they'll be gone. But I'll be here until I die, and this is my determination to bring justice in here now. And I don't understand why they can't fix this $1,500 fixture. Eric, Andrew, and one of our herd deputies came to my house in the morning. As a matter of fact, my wife woke me up and said, some people want to see you out here. And that was 2.5 years ago. We talked about a $1,500 structure to replace some K-rails there. That's right at the terminus down there. And I don't know why. You in the past, you have been I call a decent man when you were in the city council in some case, but now you've got on the board and become just like the rest of these crooks.
That's what happens when you leave the city council.
Well, the city council is crooked, too. I'm sure when the FBI finished their investigation in here, somebody would probably be going to jail. So all I'm saying is now, give us the same fair justice that everybody else gets.
Okay.
And you've been a real honest man with me here. It wasn't that I was trying to degrade or say y'all get something special. But this happened. The reason they slowed the speed down is because they have a defective frog in that area. And as a matter of fact, the people who live to the north of the track, which I know somewhere well, I went over and did sound measurements for them. And I know you guys couldn't hire nobody locally because MTA have all of them on their retainer. So you had to go to San Francisco to get them, but I don't need them. I do my own. So there will be some noise stuff coming out, too, as well. Now, it's been over a year since the train been running. You have done nothing to mitigate it. And so I am sure the only time that you do things whenever you have to pay.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm not going nowhere.
I know.
You're going to have
they don't expect you to go anywhere.
Saying, fix that K-rail thing. I mean, that should be done right away. And we had even asked for a privacy screen up there, but for some reason, we can't get nothing.
Okay.
And now, what is the acronym AMP? What is AWP or something? What is that? What are you doing? What is that acronym?
I have no idea. Do you know?
Annual work plan.
What is that?
Annual work plan.
Okay, the annual work plan, where I notice you guys use a lot of the city fund to do a lot of the stuff with. Am I correct on that? So,
okay.
I don't know why the city is doing it.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons.
All right, thank you. I'm real busy. I got to get out of here. All right. Give me a chance to speak.
I get a chance every time, and I appreciate your compliment that I used to be a decent man. I get enough of that at home. All right. Any other public comment? None. Then public comment will be closed, and we'll go to the next item, consent calendar. Item 5A through E. Does anybody want to hold anything off the consent calendar? If not, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar? Moved.
Second.
Moved by O'Leary, second by Davis without objection. Unanimous vote. Is that Ridley Thomas over there? You used to be a decent man, too, when you were on the city council. All right, so that approves the consent calendar without objection. Item 6, 6A.
Item 6A, Mr. Chairman, this deals with an extension of contract amendment and increase in price to Primus Consultants for $500,000. Primus was hired to assist us in closing out the Phase 1 contract. We have reinitiated what we call a dispute resolution board. The contractor has indicated there are numerous items that he would like to take before the dispute resolution board. A lot of these things occurred two and a half years ago. basically need staff support to do the research, prepare the documents, and prepare our case to be presented before the dispute resolution board. And so this would be would provide funding in order to allow us to prepare these documents.
Okay. Are there any questions? Discussion? Something we need to do. Motion to approve this.
So moved.
Moved by O'Leary, seconded by Greenstein. Without objection. And vote on 6A. 6B?
6B is the award of the maintenance facility building. We have been working very hard in conjunction with the city of Santa Monica, as well as the residents immediately adjacent to the maintenance facility, in order to design a facility that satisfies their needs as well as provides for the maintenance needs for Metro's vehicles. We went through a process, a very extensive process, in soliciting interest and providing the work to do the maintenance facility. We had budgeted $94 million to do this work back as part of our estimates that were prepared many years ago as part of the environmental document. The lowest responsive and responsible bidder came in at $99.9 million, just under $100 million, which would leave us with a $6 million difference between what was budgeted and what was the low bid. We've evaluated all of the bids, and we have determined that all of them, when normalized, were very close. We think we have a very competitive bid. It's unfortunate. Bit higher than our budget. What we would recommend is awarding this contract with the understanding that we would come back and look at ways to reduce the scope and cost of the maintenance facility, and that the difference between the cost, what we have budgeted and the cost of the maintenance facility, which would not exceed $6 million, would come out of project reserve. That would still leave us with a substantial project reserve with all of our major contracts then under contract. So we feel that it would be prudent at this point to move forward with the maintenance facility contract award. It is a key element. It has to be done 9 months prior to pre-revenue service, and there's a lot of work, $100 million worth of work that needs to be done. That's why we would like authorization to award at this point.
Okay. Any questions? Go ahead.
Yes, and I want to thank Mr. Thorpe and his team, as well as the Skanska Rados team, for all the outreach they've done in Santa Monica, and I think they've come up with a really wonderful project, one that's very satisfying and workable for the nearby residents. So while I certainly encourage all the cost reductions you can find, I just want to make sure that those don't come at the expense of some of the promised features and other promises that have been made to the nearby residents. They've been very pleased with the process and with the outcome, and I would just hate to see them disappointed at the end of the day when they find out that some of the things they thought were going to be included in the project don't materialize.
I think that's an excellent point. I think we should go back out to the community, and I'd be happy to come back to this board and report as to what those elements are, make sure the community... One of the things that our contractors already told us is that one of the big cost factors was going from silver to gold lead, which, is, as you may know, is energy efficiency and some other things, which they rank in different categories, bronze, silver, and gold. We could still most likely reach silver and still result in significant savings. For example, I think we have an 800,000-gallon cistern that's buried in the property to collect water. So that might be one of the things we take a look at. But with regard to function, you're exactly right. We spent a lot of time with the community. community, and we can't start moving buildings or facilities around. That was agreed to with the community and with Santa Monica. So, but I do think it would be appropriate to come back to this board, tell you what our thoughts are as far as reduction, but go ahead and award the way it is right now, and then come back with any cost savings.
All right. As long as we're clear that any changes to the project as it was bid out, bring it back to us for approval, for sign-off. I mean, I think we'd want to see specifically if you save $1.5 million out of the six, how you've done that. So
that's right.
Can see, it may be that we do have a substantial reserve. And the project on the whole is going well. I don't want to jinx it, but maybe at the end of that's what the reserve is for. So moments like these, as long as we don't have too many moments like these, but the odds of our having any more moments like these basically slim and none, because all the contracts are, this is the last major deal we have.
Yeah, this is the last remaining big unknown to this project.
And on the balance, we have done well on the unknowns, and unlike the last time, the unknowns have broken our way this time. So.
Well, we've had some areas, the utility relocation stuff with SCE and stuff, that is trending a lot higher than what we estimated, but we have some other things that are underrunning that are offsetting, so, I mean, that's the good news.
Okay. Mr. Billy Thomas, that is really...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That the sources specified prior to this point, I don't think it was in terms of the point that we would, in terms of the cost overrun, and how, if this were to be adopted by the board, we would take care of that, and you now said reserves, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Nor am I.
His question is a $6 million overrun exceedance on what we anticipated? Whatever that exceedance is, where would the money come from?
The money would come from project reserve. Right now we have a $65 million project reserve, and as the chairman indicated, that project reserve was for things like right now, because we set that budget up back in the environmental document.
Right, you're indicating that. Here, not clear that it was in the reports as to what the source would be. That's my point.
Oh, okay.
Am I correct?
Yes, that's right. Well, we attempted to do that. We said it would come out of the project reserve.
Okay.
I failed to put in the exact amount of the project reserve and what it would reduce it to. So
right.
That's my.
Right. I think it's important for us to know that.
Yeah.
And the issue is, to what extent, the second point that I want to raise, what extent is this setting a precedent?
Well, I don't think it sets a precedence, because this is the last contract to award. So, this would reduce, worst case scenario, this would reduce the project reserve from $65 million to $59 million. We think at this point in project, with about 40% of the project complete, with this being the last remaining major contract out there, that the project reserve is still in sufficient health, even with taking the $6 million. With the $59 million in project reserve, with pretty much 40% of the project complete.
No other instance of making a determination with the cost over built in, what nature of the question, precedent.
Well, that's what the project reserve is really set up for. We had to take out money out of the project reserve initially to award the major contract.
Well, no, no. Is it not not the case that a project reserve would be designed to accommodate that it has a multiple funding, find yourself having to address after the fact. This is for the fact. The puzzle.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm not hearing or not, but I guess I'm. As far as the precedence goes, this is what the project reserve is set aside for.
Okay.
For these issues and occasions.
Lance is attempting to aid you.
maybe she could.
Help him out.
Well, one thing that might be helpful is each category of our budget has a contingency, which helps fund problems that happen after the fact.
Right.
So we have like a two-level thing. So the project reserve is for initial issues that we may need to tap into, and then each category has a contingency after we award the contract. If there are issues, we can tap into that. So we have kind of a two-stage. That help at all?
A bit.
Yeah, let me try to, now that I understand the before, what the question was before and after, is as we, as Samantha indicated, we have what we call the project reserve is for these unanticipated budget overruns. Once we award a contract and we move forward, within the contract line item, we have what we call allocated contingency.
Right.
Those are funds set aside because we know we are going to run into unknowns
yeah.
during the course of
right.
the construction project. And so, for the example, in the design build, we have a contingency for unknowns. We also have a contingency for contract modifications or changes in scope. For example, this board approved $160,000 to go to Navy plants, and that came out of that contract modifications or change of scope contingency. This item, if it gets approved, the maintenance facility, we also have a line item within that area of the maintenance facility that, as well as for set aside for as we move forward the maintenance facility and the Venice Boulevard overpass, we have $10 million set aside for changes that and unknowns that may occur during the course of that construction.
Right.
So the idea then is once you award a contract, any changes would come out of those allocated contingencies, and the project reserve would remain only for elements that are not related with the construction scope. Or if our contingency got down so low, it would also assist in replenishing the contingency for the various items to finish the work.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Mr. O'Leary.
Thank you. I'm just trying to understand Ms. Davis's concern regarding the outreach by Skanska Rados. Was that pertaining to them potentially getting the contract to build the operations and maintenance facility? And because we're approving a different contractor, are you concerned that public comment and the public's concern and that outreach came up with conclusions or that may not now be implemented because they're not getting the contract?
No, maybe I misspoke. I just wanted to thank Skanska Rados because they've been part of the outreach team so far to the city and the people of Santa Monica, along with Mr. Thorpe and his team, describing the project generally and what can be expected with regard to the maintenance facility. I understand we're contracting with a different construction firm here. I just wanted to thank him before reminding him that at those many meetings, promises were made to the nearby residents about certain features and operational methodologies that will occur at the maintenance facility to minimize the impact of the facility, given that it's literally across the street from a number of homeowners and renters. And so I only mentioned Skanska Rados because they've been part of the outreach so far. I understand it's a different contractor.
Okay, and as long as the notes from those meetings are presented to the new contractor, should we approve this, that they would be of the same understanding that, that this is what is expected by the neighborhood?
It's my understanding that that's already been done, that Kiewit and all the other contractors before the bidding were made aware of the promises that had been made. My only concern was that we're now looking to negotiate down the original bid to some extent, that while we try and value engineer or otherwise reduce the scope or amount cost of the project, that we not do it essentially by breaking promises that have been made in terms of either the construction of the facility or the layout of the facility or the operation.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Not, does it to approve item 6B?
I'll make that motion with the addition that Mr. Thorpe's promised to come back and describe to us what issues he'll be using to try and address the cost savings on the project so we can be aware of them and report them back to our constituents.
Second as amended.
Okay. I would just suggest that we direct you to come back. We're asking you to come back. Direct you to come back. All right. With that amendment, item is before us. Any objection? Not unanimous vote. Thank you. Item 6C.
Item 6C is one of the last major utility relocations. This is to authorize Southern Cal Edison to do work, which is pulling wires, splicing, and doing the cutovers for the relocation of their facilities between 4th and 10th along Colorado. We need the authorization to move forward with this and an increase in the provisional sum of $5 million so Skanska can get out and actually do the duct bank construction. We've run into a lot of problems in trying to squeeze this facility in. It is a major facility. We've had to, because of code changes, it's a much larger work effort than we ever anticipated. We're asking authorization to increase that provisional sum so we can move forward with the work. We'd like to get a portion of it started next Monday. It is one element that is behind schedule right now and is on the critical path to getting the work done. As I think we mentioned a little bit earlier, the utility relocation costs are running higher than we anticipated, but there is one element that we set aside a significant amount of funds for something that we now don't have to do, and so what we're requesting is that we transfer money from the Kettner Canyon storm drain that we that storm drain we had set aside almost $17 million for to line it if we had to. We found out that we don't have to do it, so we're recommending that the underrun be on that be used to cover the overrun. So we would make that recommendation.
Underrun, that's a term we haven't heard around here.
I'd like to hear more of it.
Are there any questions about this? Motion to approve?
So moved.
By Davis?
Second.
By O'Leary? Without objection, item 6C is approved. Item 6D.
Item 6D, E, and F relate to condemnation proceedings. We have tried to negotiate as best we can with several property owners. All of these are pretty much slivers of property. It's not full takes. It's just easements in one case and
slivers of property takes on the other to widen out Venice Boulevard. Brad's here today that he's our condemnation attorney, and he will kind of walk you through this and some of the legal actions that we're required to do as far as to adopt this resolution of necessity for these three properties.
Thank you, Mr. Thorpe. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and board members. I'll walk through each one individually. Item 60 involves the board considering the adoption of the resolution.
The mic closer.
Sure. Item 60 involves the board's considering the adoption of a resolution of necessity to acquire by eminent domain the property designated as Expo Parcel Number E2-0304. It consists of a 150-square-foot easement over a portion of the property located at 830 Colorado Avenue in Santa Monica. As detailed in the staff report, the easement is necessary to accomplish utility relocations in connection with Phase 2 of the project, and the easement will be utilized for access, maintenance, and construction purposes related to underground utilities located in the adjacent public right-of-way. Mr. Thorpe had indicated the staff has negotiated and will continue to negotiate with the property's owner, but to date, staff has been unable to reach a mutually acceptable agreement in order to preserve the construction schedule. Staff would recommend that the board adopt the resolution of necessity to acquire the property interest by eminent domain and make the requisite findings as they are detailed in the resolution of necessity.
All right. Is there any discussion? If not, is there a motion to approve it?
So moved.
Moved by Davis, seconded by O'Leary without objection. Unanimous vote. Item 6E.
Item 6E is similar nature, also board considering adoption of resolution of necessity to acquire by eminent domain the property designated as Expo Parcel Number BBU-002. It consists of a permanent easement of 481 square feet and a three-month temporary construction easement of 1,409 square feet over a portion of the property located at 8931 Venice Boulevard in Los Angeles. Again, as detailed in the staff report, the easement interests are necessary in order to widen Venice Boulevard and construct the light rail aerial bridge structures adjacent to the property in connection with phase of the project. Again, staff has negotiated in good faith, and we've been unable to come to a resolution in order to preserve the construction schedule. Staff would recommend moving forward.
Is there any discussion on this item? Not. Is there a motion to approve it? Moved by O'Leary, seconded by Greenstein without objection. Unanimous vote. 6F.
6F is the adjacent property to VB. Property designated as Expo Parcel BB003, located at 8949 and 8951 Venice Boulevard. This particular interest consists of a permanent easement of 930 square feet and a three-month temporary construction easement of 1,830 square feet. Again, it is necessary for the widening of Venice Boulevard and accomplish phase two of the project. Continue to negotiate in good faith, and we'll continue to do so. But again, to preserve the construction schedule, we recommend moving forward.
Any discussion on this item? Not. Is there a motion to approve it? Moved by Greenstein, seconded by Davis. Without objection, unanimous vote. Takes care of 6F. Next item is 7A.
Mr. Chairman, 7A is our monthly update report. Mr. Olson, we'll give this to you.
Starting with phase one, we're still don't have substantial completion with our main contractor, FFT. We're still waiting for the final delivery of spare parts, which is holding that up. Our latest budget forecast is showing a shortfall of $9.4 million for elements that we know at this time. But as we've talked about previously, there are still items out there that put this further at risk. Some elements that we're still looking at, guideway noise, several things that we're looking at there for noise along the guideway. One, we had some issues with what we call a spring frog at what we call the National Crossover, which is in Culver City, just east of the Culver City Station. One of the spring frogs was installed incorrectly, so we're having to remove that and have a new one fabricated. We have ordered that. It needs to be made and then delivered, and we're looking at delivery sometime in midsummer with installation probably end of summer, early fall. Another area that we're looking at to improve noise is we are looking at bringing a special rail grinder onto the alignment. The rail grinder that did the initial grinding of the rail on the alignment was not able to go through the grade crossings, the crossing panels, and the crossovers. We have found a piece of machinery that is able to do that, and we're looking to bring that piece of machinery out here the end of this month, early next month. Also, ourselves and Metro are going to work with the PUC to explore the possibility of lowering the noise of the actual bells themselves at the crossings, as well as looking at installing shrouds that would focus the noise down towards the actual people crossing and using the crossing itself, vehicular and pedestrians, and away from the residents, again, looking at ways to try to mitigate some of the noise issues that have been addressed or brought up along the alignment. Ridership, as of March, the ridership was up to 26,000 a week. Day riders, which is just 1,000 short of the 27,000 that were anticipated in 2020. So we continue to see about 1,000 riders a month increase on the alignment. So again, very, very encouraging. Moving on to phase two, we'll start with some of the construction photos. This is work at the National Palms Bridge up on the false work that's been erected. This is the Sepulveda parking structure, so that continues to move along nicely. The false work over Sepulveda has been completed, and work's begun up on top there also. This is some of the first, what we call MSE wall panels that are being installed on the project just west of Sentinella. Design-build contract, the alignment design-build contract. One area that we're having to address is approvals of the design drawings from the City of Los Angeles. At this point in time, the city has taken the position that they aren't going to approve our design drawings until several outstanding scoping issues are resolved. So we're working with the city, the mayor's office, as well as the heads of the departments to see what we can do to break these approvals away from the scoping issues so we can handle both of these in parallel. But if we can't get the drawings approved, it will put the construction schedule at risk. Other construction activities, the contractor continues to work with the wet and dry utilities, as well as the guideway construction. Bridge construction continues. I mentioned the retaining wall construction. And we actually began station site work out at the Olympic and 26th Street Station. So, again, a lot of work going on there. As Mr. Thorpe said, they're about 40% complete. So, the work continues to move on effectively and efficiently. Operation of the main facility, I think we've discussed most of the items here, so I'll move past that. Venice Boulevard, the work out there, we're continuing the dry utility relocations of both DWP and the communication providers, and we've begun work on the bridge foundations and columns out there in the last month, so that's moving along. Bikeway contract, we finalized the contract provisions with Skanska Rados. We received a limited release of funding from Metro for the City of Los Angeles portion of the bikeway. Santa Monica funding and license agreement is still not finalized, and the funding hasn't been released for that portion. Major issues. We are going to experience a delay to the Venice Boulevard Bridge substantial completion. This is due to delays and relocation of sewer lines and overhead communication lines. We ended up having 8 communication companies that actually had overhead wires through there, so we ended up having to put together what we called a joint trench to move all of these comm lines into. That took longer than anticipated, so it's going to push the substantial completion date back. We have worked with SRJV and the bridge contractor to come up with a workaround, which we have, that will support completion of the overall Phase 2 project within schedule. So we're able to kind of double stage it. We'll have SRJV go in and do some of their grading and MSC wall work beginning next month, or I mean middle of this month, and then we'll turn the bridge over to them so they can be in their track work sometime in early to late fall. So with that, we should be able to support the overall project schedule. And we're working with the Venice Boulevard contractor now to basically come up with a final completion date and segregation of cost responsibilities. Potential delays due to SCE. We're still working very closely with SCE with overhead relocations on Venice and Sepulveda. Again, we talked a little bit about the underground relocations along Colorado Avenue, which at this point in time are on the critical path and are showing a delay, but we're working with the contractor and Edison to come up ways to try to expedite this work, trying to work through some outstanding issues with Edison. We think we've made some headway here in the last month on those issues so we can keep the work moving forward. We talked about the cost overrunning, so I won't go into that, and then we're also still managing any third-party scope growth. Community outreach, we had a bicycle advisory committee last month, as well as two construction update meetings, and we continue to reach out to stakeholders along the alignment. Local jobs. Last month, 22.2% were local hires for a cumulative percentage to date of 17.3%. SRGV and its subcontractors have employed 192 small businesses, of which 140 are local, and over $76 million is committed to SBEs, with over $34 million committed to local SBEs. And the contractor continues to work on waivers of bond and insurance requirements, again, to allow for maximum opportunities for the small businesses. SBE, at this point in time, the contractor is at 14% of an overall SBE goal of 20%, and the local SBE is at 6.4% of an overall goal of 7%. And that concludes my presentation. If there's any questions.
Any further business before the commission?
No. Completes the agenda.
I have a question.
Okay.
Going back to the alignment design build contract and the issue we have with Los Angeles approval for the remaining civil design, is that delay expected because they're overloaded, overworked? What is the delay? And then I have a follow-up.
I'll try to address that. There are several issues that remain to be resolved. For example, tree maintenance on streets, the time of the maintenance period in our contract, we have 1 year. The city typically requires developers to do 5 years. The city would like 3 years. We're going to be out of business, and so Metro will have to take over these responsibilities. So there's issues relative to Metro, how long they will maintain them after we're done, as well as issues with Crenshaw and others. So it's more of a bigger policy issue. Unfortunately, they're holding up all of our plans over this issue. There's several other issues like sidewalk on Sepulveda Boulevard that the city would like us to install, and we're saying that's fine, but it's a betterment, and they're arguing that it's not a betterment. But they're still withholding all of our plans and not approving anything until those types of things get resolved. And I think there's, what, maybe 10, 12 items?
Half dozen
items that they're holding all of our plans, thousands of sheets of plans. So at some point, and they, quite frankly, they're in violation of our executed MOU, and I will be sending the city a letter
that lets them know that they are in violation of our MOU, which says that they are not to hold up the progress of the project over a dispute. And to the extent they do, they're on the hook to pay all of the delay damages associated with it.
Okay, because I'm not suggesting that I have any political clout, but I do believe that the chair, when he was a council member in Los Angeles, he was a decent man, that he may still have influence. If you need political influence, obviously, to move this forward, but it doesn't seem appropriate for public funds to be affected by some contract delays. I assumed it was probably building inspections or planning issues that maybe we could contract separately with, but I now understand, and I'm concerned about those delays as you are. Thank you.
Any other comments from the board members? Not